yonder, every person will be there. That judgment day is coming one day, and nobody will be able to escape it. There are situations where you have an appointment on certain things, and what we can do, we can cancel that appointment. But when it comes to God and the role that He has mentioned, we all will be there when the roll is called up yonder. And for the righteous, I'm a firm believer that we will want to be there. We will want to be there, just like a test. You know, when you obey during the schooling days and all that, you study for the test. And when it's time to take that, you was ready for the test. Same with the Word of God. When we study the Word of God and work on putting it to practice, you know, we can pass the test. I want to thank Victor for directing our minds in the singing. My coughing is a little bit better, but I'm still, at times I do cough, but you know, that's part of life, and I'll try to be brief this morning. In John chapter 5, I'm looking at this crippled man, and I'm using him for an example and looking at other scriptures that has to deal with how Jesus dealt with people in his day. Jesus went about doing good, healing people. And not only can Jesus heal, or did he not heal, he did heal people who had all type of infirmities. He gave the blind sight. He healed the cripple. I mean, he just done good work when he was on the earth. And he can also heal us when we are spiritually crippled. See, he can heal when we're spiritually crippled if we would just follow his word and do what he has commanded us to do. Now, in John chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 6. I'm not going to read all of it. You know the story. In John chapter 5, look at verses 6 through 8. And you remember the story, the man was brought there at the pool of Bethesda, and somebody left him there, and he wasn't able to get in the pool. And the angel would come down and stir up the water, and whoever got in the pool would be healed of their infirmity. Isn't that neat? How Jesus did that? The angel? And but sad to say that the crippled man had nobody to help him. He had nobody to help him. And so I want to look at this in view of the crippled man was never able to enter the pool when the water was stirred, troubled or stirred up, because there was no one to help him. Just so many sinners never enter into Christ because there is no one to lead them or teach them. But let's look at John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Jesus, you know, as Jesus, looking at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, Jesus would sometimes, he would ask questions. And sometimes what he would do, the Pharisees would ask him a question, and then Jesus would say, "What do you say?" So that's sometimes that's good as we're teaching, and I'm leading up to teaching people who are not Christians and who are spiritually crippled. Sometimes I just need to ask them a question. Do you want to be made well? That's what Jesus asked the crippled man. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." Jesus wasn't going to carry his bed for him. When the man was healed, and that shows us that Jesus wants us to do what we can do for ourselves. And so he told him to take your bed up and walk. And once again, sometimes there are people who would, I'm sure, obey if somebody would teach them. They're out there somewhere, and somebody would lead them. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, I'm going to be looking at a few scriptures here. Romans 1 and verse 14, and I do know this, that we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. If I'm ashamed of it, I won't invite people to church. I won't say much. I won't say anything. Sometimes the denominational people and other people, they sort of be asking us questions, you know, as far as trying to get us to come and worship with them. And we have to be strong enough and be humble enough, because they don't know that. And I kind of told some guys one time, these are religious-minded, religious teachers and preachers. I said, I tell you what, and being humble as I can, if you can find the things that you all are doing, if you can find your church in the Bible, if you can find your practices in the Bible, I'll go with you. If you can find the church that you are a member of in the Bible, I'll go with you. And then the practices, I'll go with you. But we cannot be ashamed of it. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul, he was a debtor, he says here. This felt an obligation. He says, I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Said he was ready. He was ready to preach the gospel to those who was in Rome. He was ready to preach the gospel wherever he went. And we should be ready. And how we get ready is by studying and studying and studying and applying God's word to our lives. And we should be ready. Just continue to meditate upon the word of God day and night. He says in verse 16, he says here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greeks. Now underscore, Paul said he just wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of it because it's God's power to save. And if men, the gentleman that baptized me, if he had been ashamed of it, then I probably wouldn't be baptized. I wouldn't be baptized by him. But he wasn't ashamed of it. And I baptize others, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I need to keep that attitude. Never be ashamed of God's, the word of God. It saves us. It really does. It saved us. And I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that's going to matter when you take your last breath, am I faithful to God? That's going to matter. Am I faithful to God? And so let's not be ashamed of it. There are so many people, they are ashamed of it. In Romans chapter 10, see it in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, and verse 13. And people that we invite and people that we try to teach, you're not going to save everybody. But we can try, at least, you know, try to lead them to Jesus. You're not going to save everybody. I'm going to tell you that now. That's just the way that goes. In Romans chapter 10, if they don't want to learn the ways of God, there's nothing you can do about that. In Romans 10:13, For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've had people to take this verse and they'll stop right there. They will take this verse and they will use it for deathbed confession. They'll say, I can get on my deathbed and call on the name of the Lord and he'll save me. They'll read this verse and stop. But let's not stop. Let's continue to read. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Don't even believe. A lot of people get on the deathbed, they get scared. That's a scared situation, scared thinking. Calling on the name of the Lord. You wonder why don't they call on the one they've been serving? Oh, devil, help me. They won't do that. They call on the Lord. But calling on the Lord means that I'm going to obey him. Calling on the Lord means that I spend some time with him. Not wait around until I get on my deathbed and holler, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus had Paul had a word to say about that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we call on him by obeying him. But look there at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You need a preacher. You need a preacher. And anymore, you don't hear many people just talk about mention preachers now. It's pastor. Everybody's pastor. And I told some people, now you need to look at that word pastor, because the word pastors means a group of men, a group of overseers over the local congregation. I said, you're talking about everybody's pastor now. 18-year-old man who's preaching, they call him the pastor. He don't know much. He don't know a whole lot. The word elder, overseers, presbytery, bishops means a group of men overseeing the local church. And the word elder itself means an older man. One of the guys at work said that word elder means an older man. He told me that. He said, I see what you're saying. He said, but they think it all means the same. And so then they got women pastors. Oh man, it's just messed up. Woman can't be no pastor. She can't be no pastor. The qualifications for overseers is 1 Timothy 3, which I'm not going to read all of that. And Titus 1, it says if a man desires the office of a bishop. That's a masculine pronoun dealing with men. If a man said he must be the husband, he must be the husband of one wife. See, a woman can't have no wife. All you got to do is just look at those scriptures. You look at those scriptures. This isn't even what I'm supposed to be talking about. Let me move on. But the word, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. It says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Every congregation needs a preacher. One who loves the Lord and one who works on his life and corrected when he gets off track or whatever the case may be. And we need a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. See, God's word brings peace in our lives. It brings peace. We all know this before we obey the gospel. There was no peace in our lives. God's word brings peace in our lives. Who brings glad tidings of good things. See, the gospel had been preached to the Jews, but most of them rejected it. It had been preached to the Jews, but most of them rejected the gospel. Now, if you would, look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing. This is a good verse as well. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. See, when there's no word of God and somebody tells me something and we can, and they cannot find that in the scriptures, I don't believe that. Because faith comes by hearing. Not hearing the doctor, reverend, this, that, and the other. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And you talk to people, and one fellow said he saw the Lord last, it had been several years ago, said he seen the Lord. Now, I don't find that in the Bible where he, you know, you can't see God and live. The Bible says that, but anyway, they got this mixed up. He's just not telling the truth. He wanted me to think that he had something God gave him more than have given me, and that's not true. He gives us the same thing, everybody. Everybody, and I tell people this, do you not know that we all can understand the Bible alike? We all can understand the Bible alike, and I tell people this, the preacher, he's not the only one that can know the Bible. Anybody can know it who studies it. If you study the Bible, you can know just as much as I know. I'll probably know more. Sometimes in the congregation, you have some who know just a little bit more than the preacher. So anybody can understand it. Or anybody can obey it. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, and then I'm going to look at a few miracles of miraculous healing. In 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to bring it to a close. In 2 Corinthians, look at 4 and verse 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now the treasure is the gospel. It's the good news. It's the gospel. That's what the treasure is. In earthen vessels, and the vessel is the man, the preacher. And that's all we are, is a vessel. We're earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Earthen vessels refers to human beings. See? And the power is in the word and not the man. Always remember that. Now, the paralytic was brought to Jesus by four men. I'm going to show you Mark chapter 2. As we talked about, like the crippled man was healed, Jesus didn't only heal the crippled man. There was a lot of people that he healed when he was on earth. And I do want to say this. When he was on earth, he would forgive sins right there on the spot. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Mark chapter 2, 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. The word preach simply means to proclaim it. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Somebody said they were his friends. It could have been. Could have been his friends. Carried by four men. And so we know that apparently this paralytic was on some type of stretcher. We gonna read that, he's on this stretcher. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So we can see here, brothers, sisters, and friends, not only did the four men have faith, the paralytic, he had faith as well. We got to have faith in Jesus. And looking at it, even in a spiritual way, for Jesus to heal us of our any spiritual sicknesses, we got to have faith in him that he can do that. Look at verse 6. "And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts." The scribes, I want to say something about the scribes. The scribes were commonly called lawyers. And they studied the law and they knew the law. You can check that out and study it. You remember, and I'm not going to turn over there, Matthew chapter 23 said the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In other words, after the death of Moses, the scribes and the Pharisees, they taught the law of Moses. And Jesus said, you know, whatever they tell you, you observe that, because what they're telling you is nothing but truth. They told the truth. They knew the law. But Jesus said, don't follow their example, because they say and do not. So the scribes were commonly called lawyers. They were writers or secretaries. They studied the law of Moses. Look at verse 6 again. "And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" See, Jesus knew and he knew what they was thinking about. He knew what they had on their minds, because he could look into the hearts of men. And then verse 9, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk?" The logical conclusion is that Jesus is the Son of God to do this. To be able to heal this man, he has to be the Son of God. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic. See, a man cannot forgive sins, nor could he heal. See, he can't heal. Not in this miraculous way that we're looking at. "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." See, this man was miraculously healed. This proves Jesus healed. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Men cannot forgive sins. Nor could men heal the paralytic. There in verse 10. But God can. He's able to heal. Jesus gave proof that he is the Son of God. Let's look at one more here. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to bring it to a close. I'm going to bring it to a close. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 31, Mark 7, verse 31, and we're gonna look at the end of the chapter here, and then I'm gonna extend the invitation. Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. Now, you know, if Jesus is able to heal people miraculously, he can heal those who are spiritually crippled or spiritually sick or whatever the case may be. Again, departed from the region of Tyre and Zion. He came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sees and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. This was Jesus now. He performed that miracle. He said, don't tell nobody. The more widely they proclaimed it. Let me read that again, verse 36. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. Talking about Christ there. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. See, the crowd was greatly impressed by the miracle that Jesus performed. I know you all may have read this before, but it says in verse 36, then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Now, Jesus did not want the people to think that he was working miracles just with the motive of becoming famous. That's why he said, just don't say nothing. He didn't want the people to think he was working miracles just to be famous. Because man, that's what he would do, wouldn't it? Man would want people to know and want the popularity of it. But Jesus, he just healed the man and just said, just keep it to yourself, because he didn't care nothing about no being famous. He didn't care anything about being famous. His motive was to heal people. And we're going to bring it to a close. And I do want to say that once again, Jesus, he still heals. He still heals. And most of all, he heals us spiritually. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, I think that's right, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The plan of salvation, if one would obey God's plan for salvation, he'll be healed from his spiritual diseases. One must hear the gospel. Romans 10, 17, Paul tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. One must believe the gospel. Mark 16 and 16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't that plain? He who does not believe, he will be condemned. Got to repent of our sins. Luke 13 and 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall perish. Everybody has to repent. Acts 17 and 30, there was a time that God winked at ignorance. But now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. He winked at ignorance because at one time the Gentiles wasn't given the word of God. Now we have the word for Jews and Gentiles. There's no excuse for that. So one must hear, believe, repent, got to confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess you before my Father who is in heaven. That's the only question that we'll ask people. When they've done those other, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And then one must be buried in water, be baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38. The Jews on Pentecost, after they had crucified Christ, they wanted to know what they must do. Peter told them to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 obeyed the gospel, and the Church of Christ was established on the day of Pentecost around AD 33. And this is what I'm preaching everywhere I go. Anything after that is too late. It's not the Church of Christ. It's a man-made institution. And I just tell it like it is and with humility. And that's just the way it is. Please come while together we stand to sing the song of invitation. Please come.